Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you ready to do some movie reviews?
I'm ready to snap into it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that rap album is prolific.
I love it. I listen to it once a year.
It's so good. Every now and again, I'll get little bits of it stuck in my head and I will listen to it. So like, the time has come.
Time has come.
So good.
It is the cleanest rap album ever.
Oh my God. It's so much fun.
Be a man, Hulk.
It's just like, you listen to it and at least 24 times during listening to the album, you're like, this actually exists.
Don't make me kick your butt.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's what the world needs now.
More than ever.
The Macho Man currently always giving, despite being deceased for at least a decade now.
That's the beauty of the album. He's always there for you.
Always there being a man.
That's right.
Well, speaking of being a man, I don't know what that transition means.
Okay.
I got a movie. You got a movie. And the Macho Man would like us to talk about said movies.
Okay. For the Macho Man, we'll do it.
Maybe we'll talk about which movie we think the Macho Man would enjoy better.
Oh.
That's fun. And what do you think the Macho score would be?
The Macho score on this one, I feel like, would not be super duper high. But it'd be reasonable. Middling Macho score.
Middling? I don't know what Macho would think of mine. He's either going to love it or hate it.
Okay.
There is no in between.
So big swings.
Big swings at this one, yeah.
Okay. So I guess I'll go first because I'm the middling.
If you choose.
It's the safe bet.
Okay, that's fine. We'll be a man. Go first.
Fear Street, ooh. 1978.
Now, how many of these have there been now?
There are three in existence, and the fourth is coming out in 2025.
Okay, this is the third?
This is the second.
This is the second.
So it's 96, mm-hmm. 78, or 98, 78, something like that, and then 1666. So it's a story, they all take place in the same town.
In different time periods. I like that.
It all has to do with the same curse, so it's like contemporary in the 90s, and the kids find out that there's a woman who survived this curse before they find her, and then this is her telling her story.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, pretty cool. The last one is the origin of the curse and the wrap-up of the first movie.
Okay. Is the next one the wrap-up of what happens with the curse, or are we just going to keep going?
Oh, does it ever really wrap up?
Does it ever? No, the cream of the crop always rises to the top.
That's exactly.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. This movie came out in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it on 10/14 of 2024.
Okay.
It's 1 hour and 50 minutes long. It is a horror mystery regular ass.
Okay.
Directed by Lee Janiak. Janiak?
He's a Janiak. A macho Janiak.
I think it's a female. I don't know.
Either way, macho.
I don't know. They're awesome, yeah.
She can be macho.
She's got to be a macho. Hey.
That's right.
Hey.
Hey.
Starring Emily Rudd, Sadie Sink yet again,
hey,
and Ted Sutherland.
That's fun.
Yeah. Your movie summary for this one is a summer of fun turns into a gruesome fight for survival as a killer terrorizes Camp Nightwing in the cursed town of Shadyside.
Oh, that's just asking for it, that town.
Yeah, so there's Sunnydale, and Shadyside, and they're towns that are next to each other. The Shadyside town is looked down on. They're said to be a curse that was brought on by a witch. And you find out in the first movie that's very much the case.
Okay.
And they're trying to figure out how to finally put the whole thing to rest. And they find out that a woman has survived this, which this is the woman who's telling her story about summer camp in the 70s.
Okay.
And she did, in fact, survive it. And she's trying to essentially sort of help them overcome this.
She has to be convinced to get back involved.
But she tells the story first. Well, my story took place in 1978.
We're back in the day.
And Sadie Sink plays the woman as a younger girl.
Oh, okay.
So pretty cool to see. She's a sister. The sister's like goody-goody Pris, going to get into college. They both have a troubled parenthood. The mother drinks. The dad's out of the picture. She's kind of aggravated and rebellious and just doesn't give a fuck, man.
Sure.
And the camp starts to have like the trappings of someone perhaps doing something, and they go out playing around where they shouldn't, and one of the kids becomes possessed and starts murdering all of the other kids.
As one does at summer camp.
That is a summer camp tradition.
That's right. You build a birdhouse, you get possessed, you murder some of your friends, you go canoeing.
That's why you send your kids to camp.
Right. It thins the herd.
Yes, exactly. So it's a fun movie. There's a lot of music that is like trying real hard to remind you it's 1978 in this movie.
I like that.
Yeah, a lot of pop music from that era. But it's overall, it's fun. It's very much kind of cliche-y.
Okay.
Treads very familiar 70s slasher tropes that we've seen in dozens and dozens and dozens of these movies previously.
Is that by design?
Partially.
Partially, okay.
It's definitely trying to make it, because it's part of a trilogy, I think every one of these movies plays it a little safe.
Okay.
Like, I think that the 96 or whatever year for the first one is, I reviewed it a while back on the show, and it was very hallmarky of the movies that came out right after Scream.
Sure.
And that the successors there, Urban Legend and the Valentine and all those, like, there's a killer. It's like the repeat of the whodunits from the late 70s. This one very much trying to be the summer camp slasher flicks of the 80s. And then we'll get to the later one, the 66 movie, which is trying to be very fit in a box of this is colonial times in the U.S. and there is a witch, so very like Salem witch trials-y, but trying to be very familiar, i.e. like something more like Arthur Miller's The Crucible.
Okay.
So it's all trying to be relatable because this is geared towards, I wouldn't say a young audience, but a young-ish audience. I would say like in that 16 to 18-year-old audience.
Fear Street's Goosebumps, right?
It's R.L. Stine. It's his like teen title. Okay. So Goosebumps was for kids and Fear Street was for the teenagers.
Got it. I didn't know how intertwined they were.
Yes. It was just kind of like the Fear Street had the tie together themes to it. So you would have like runs of Fear Street books that tied together where Goosebumps were all separate independent stories.
Gotcha. But that damn dummy came back a bunch of times.
Oh yeah. Night of the Living Dummy, like part 9 or whatever. This is a Monster Blood part 6.
Does he still make Goosebumps books like that?
There are Goosebumps that have come out semi-recently, but I don't know how much they're supposed to be the Goosebumps of past or like he's trying new things just because I haven't bothered to look. I just feel like the draw to Goosebumps was how popular it was, and also I think the covers were a huge draw for Goosebumps.
Covers were perfect.
Just absolute.
Bright colors in the 90s.
So good. The illustrations were so awesome and interesting, and it just was an immediate draw into the books. And now, like, it's all kind of like, to me, like a little cheesy and kind of campy and offbeat, and like, oh, it's spooky, kids, watch out. And it's like, it's kind of lost its teeth.
Old Prospector, he lost his teeth too.
Yeah, almost like Old Prospector as played by Richard Simmons. Rest in peace, Richard Simmons.
Oh.
But it's a really, like, this movie feels like that, where it's kind of those movies just with a little less teeth. But they still do, like, it tells a cool story, and it has setups, it has payoffs, it's got a real reason for existing. It does have that kind of trapped in the middle syndrome, where it just feels like we're getting more exposition through a lot of the story is just set up to what will be the payoff. But then when I get to the next movie, we'll find out there's even more exposition yet to come.
Dang.
Yeah, so it's just, it's a little bloated. It's a little cliche. It's a little too safe for my taste. Watching it as part of a trilogy, it was still enjoyable. Like, I didn't dislike it in any way. I just thought that it could have done a little bit more to identify itself versus latch on to existing films just to make sure that you recognize it.
That's fair.
Yeah. It was all right, though. IMDb gives it a 6.7 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics give it, 108 critics give it 88%, which surprised me.
Yeah, no, that does surprise me.
Audience of 1,000 plus gave it 81%.
Okay.
So pretty disparate between IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes on that one. I gave it a 6.5. Sam gave it a 7.5. But she has not watched nearly as many of these summer camp slashers as I have.
So. Well, I still think that's important to factor in. It's enjoyable.
For a lot of audiences, especially the audience this is targeted towards, these things that I'm saying are cliche and overdone will not be that to them. So it is to me, who's old crotchety horror veteran.
You are a horror veteran.
Horror veteran.
You're
here.
Also a
peak crotchety.
Peak crotch is what I'm hearing.
Hey, listen, Macho Man appreciates a good pronounced crotch.
Ooh, yeah. Jumin.
That's right. Snap into it.
Snap it. Anyways, I got a movie. Mm-hmm. Would you like to hear about it?
No, you would just tell me anyway.
That's right, so say no.
Nope.
Too bad. This movie is from 2018.
Okay.
It is called Voodoo.
Voodoo.
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
But its real title from Spain is Apocalypse Voodoo.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought you would like that.
I just like that it's just rearranged.
It's spelled differently, too.
Okay.
Not Voodoo, but Apocalypse. I watched this on September 25th, 2024. It's an hour 35. It is an action, comedy, fantasy, horror.
Whoa.
Those are some combos. All regular ass.
Regular ass.
This is a movie from Spain, and I do own it on DVD.
Dios mio.
Yes. Directed by Vazny Ramos. I was going to give this to you, but I forgot to bring it with
me. Okay.
I said this needs to live on, just sitting on your DVD shelf.
Okay.
The cast includes Sergio G. Ramos, Domingo Effigy, and Jesus Santana.
Jesus.
Jesus. Writers are Jose J. Ramallo, with both of the Ramoses involved.
Get them both in there.
Get them both. How many Ramoses do we got? Get them in there.
Yep.
All right. Movie summary. You ready for this shit?
I am ready for the shit.
All right. Detective Charlie Vargas returns to Los Angeles to take charge of a top priority case, the reappearance of drug lord Jimmy Vanilla.
Oh, my.
Founder and singer with the group Black Vanilla.
Oh my.
This movie is awesome.
Okay.
It is exactly as advertised bullshit.
Okay.
You will love or hate it. It is just that simple.
Fair enough.
But it is as advertised. What I love is this is Spain, like mainland Spain, trying to do 70s buddy cop American movie.
Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
Doing it very tongue in cheek.
Oh, I love that.
There is a ton of green screen that cracks me the F up.
Awesome.
There is no car that does not make sense being there from the 70s. They have one car, and I feel like everything else is green screen of them driving around.
Awesome.
There's a lot of driving around scenes. It is very cliche on purpose, very silly, very fun. White Chocolate and Charlie Vargas team up in this ode to U.S. 70s buddy cop films.
Huh.
This is very stupid on purpose. It is a blast.
Oh, that's great.
Character names include White Chocolate, Burro Taxi, Camaro Cantina, Kowalski, and Black Man.
Oh.
Black Man is a black man.
Oh, good.
So a little but besides that, and he is the like the captain, and he is great.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's very like, what do you mean? He's that guy, like
very
stereotyped
cool.
Through the gills.
I love it.
He shows up late in scenes with a shotgun, just like, ah, fuck it, let's shoot it.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
It's good.
Yeah, it's way good.
They know what this is. This movie was filmed in 5 weeks.
Okay, that's pretty quick.
It's apparently a spinoff of a 23-minute, I can't tell if it's a short or like a mini series that was made that was titled Paul Kersey with and White Chocolate versus the Kung Fu Robot Mafia.
Oh, baby. That's a way better title.
It's a good title.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it anywhere, so maybe I'll have to do some digging. Which that, by the way, has a 7.7 on IMDb.
That sounds like it should.
And this is Vargas's only full-length movie that I could find.
Okay.
So I feel like he's, I mean, it's 2018. He's very new to it. But man, he might have just been like, oh my God, I never want to make another movie again. But I could see it because he put so much into this.
5 week film time is pretty rough.
There are some great moments in here. It's very cliche, so we appreciate it because
yes.
It's targeted to us.
Right.
Especially older us, guys of our kind of era that are in like the 30s, 40s and remember these 70s films on TV. There are some funny, funny scenes like car chases with some gunfire between them. There is a fight scene where one of them is on top of a car with a samurai sword fighting the other car and it's green screen and it looks very bad on purpose.
That's way cool.
The fact that everything is on purpose makes this movie a blast.
That's way cool.
If this was just like, we're just going to do this and just not acknowledge it,
right?
It would be silly. This is a very cool movie.
That's way cool.
You're either going to love it or hate it, though, because it is kind of, it drags a little. It's a little bad dialogue-y, but I think everybody is clearly having fun. Like, you know, the guy gets shot near retirement. Like, every cliche will be in here.
That's
on
great.
Purpose. It is
I love
good.
It. I think the hallmark to these movies is you get the clear impression that they're having a good time with it, and that just lets you in on the joke.
Right.
So I think it helps it land quite a bit.
I thought this was going to be, I could clearly tell that the mouths weren't lining up and this English was not the original language. I do appreciate the language voice acting though, because it's very like not in sync well and very like off on purpose.
Nice.
Even though clearly that's not what they were saying. But I thought this was a Mexican movie because it has a lot of luchador stuff in the beginning.
Okay.
Of course. course, drives me in as well. But it's just because it takes place in Los Angeles, the one character got drunk, went to Mexico, and is hiding out.
That's great.
They have to go get him to come back.
Too
very,
funny.
Very cliche. It's so fun. I really like the introspective of Bane looking at us, saying, let's do that shit.
Yeah, that is pretty wild.
And I don't think it's going to be for everybody, but I think it's worth checking out because some people might really enjoy it and not know that this little gem, tiny gem, it's a tiny gem. There's a little shine on this one that you would normally be like, oh God, no.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's about it. That's about all Voodoo Apocalypse needs, but definitely check it out. And at some point it will live on your DVD shelf.
Whoa.
It's the only thing I forgot today. I was doing so good.
You were. 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. Damn. IMDb give this a 4.8.
Uh-oh.
Rotten Tomato critics and audience didn't.
Oh, see, that's why we got it. You, I know. It's been a minute since I've yelled at everybody.
Yell at everybody, why don't you?
You really need to make sure you get on to the podcast. You rate it. You review it. You can put whatever you want. These guys are terrible. 1 star. We just need the rate and the review so that we can get on to such platforms as Rotten Tomatoes and be able to give these films an actual review, which will help them get closer to getting an actual score. Knucklehead.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Macho Man.
I gave it a 6.5. It was very much in my wheelhouse, though.
That's fair.
But it's very enjoyable.
And that's fine. I think it if it embraces and has a good time and just is like, if you're willing to bear with us and this is like, if this is your kind of humor, you're going to have a blast. I'm fully in for that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Way cool.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, puppy.
Bye.